Sue, would you please call the roll?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Salzman?
Here.
Hales?
Here.
And we have one item on the council calendar this afternoon. Would you read that, please, Sue?
Item 969, endorse the Southwest Corridor Plan and Shared Investment Strategy and provide direction for plan refinement and implementation.
Thank you. Well, let me get this started, and then I know Commissioner Novick is going to have some comments as well. We as a region and as a community have some well-established healthy habits of carefully planning our land use scheme for the community and then carefully considering transportation options for serving that land use scheme, and that's very much what we're about in this case as well. In cooperation with our regional government, Metro, and the other local governments that are affected by and are included in the Southwest Corridor, we've started the formal process of looking at transportation alternatives to serve this corridor and to continue our communities and our region's approach to growth and development and moving around. And for some, I guess it seems like a long and arcane process, and it is. It has to be, because you're talking about long-term change in neighborhoods. You're talking about big expenditures by the city and by the federal government and as we build transportation infrastructure. And we're talking about how the thousands of people will live and work and play in our communities for a really long time. So I hope folks that endeavor to follow this process as citizens don't lose patience with it, because it is long and involved, but it should be. And it also involves a lot of collaboration because of the number of local governments involved that I just mentioned, as well as others. There's been a steering committee that consisted of folks from Metro, from the city, from TriMet, from the Oregon Department of Transportation, from counties. Again, a consortium effort of local governments. That steering committee was underway when Commissioner Novick and I arrived on the city council, and we both have gotten scrolled into that process that many of the people in the room here have been involved in for a long time. And then once I assigned the Transportation Bureau, in particular, to Commissioner Novick, he spun up to a faster speed on this issue and has begun taking a key role in this project, as well as being our representative to the Joint Policy Advisory Committee on Transportation. So I'm very excited that we're at this juncture here today, where the City Council of the City of Portland takes up this question of the Southwest Corridor Plan and hopefully acts on it and helps move the process forward. And then again, we go on from there into the next phases of this careful, deliberate, thoughtful, inclusive planning process, where our whole community comes together, makes big choices, and makes for a livable city for the long run. So with that, thank you all for being here today and for the work that's been done so far. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Novick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I should note that today I hope that we become the eighth jurisdiction to endorse this plan. So far, the cities of Sherwood and King City and Tigard and Beaverton and Durham have all taken action to endorse the plan, as have Washington and Multnomah counties. And I should also note, this is more than a high-capacity transit plan. It's a shared investment strategy that includes a strategic project list for roadway active transportation and green projects. The transportation projects recommended by the plan are important to both achieving land use goals and strengthening access to transit along the corridor. And improving local transit connections will also be essential to the success of potential high-capacity transit investment. We're going to have staff presentations, but prior to that, in our tradition of asking elected officials who are visiting to comment first, I'd like to ask Metro Councilor Bob Stacey to share his thoughts with us.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bob Stacey, Metro Councilor, District 6, Southeast and Southwest Portland. It's a little daunting to try to brief this council, since a quorum of this council has been participating in the Southwest Corridor Plan. Commissioner Fritz has also been representing the city. And the leadership the three of you have provided has set the bar for I think, all of us in this endeavor going forward. This is not your garden variety or traditional corridor plan to build a light rail project. This is a new approach to corridor planning at the regional level, putting the community's vision and what that means for land uses in the corridor first is the step this committee, the Southwest Corridor Steering Committee, began with. And the question to be answered is a high-capacity transportation investment part of the tools that we need to get there? It's been very rewarding to have the vision work done by communities in the corridor, including the work you've done on the Barber Concept Plan, to lay the groundwork for the decisions that will lie ahead. And we have worked collaboratively among the communities to put together what we're calling this shared investment strategy. It looks not only at whether there should be high-capacity transit, if so, where and what mode, but also at local transit improvements, which I hope you'll hear more from TriMet about, and street improvements, trails, parks, sidewalks, bike facilities, to knit together station areas and the larger community as we proceed in this effort. As the commissioner said, a whole bunch of communities have already acted. The council at Metro is hoping to lend its formal support on October 31st. I would really like to be able to come back and say that the Portland City Council has endorsed this plan as well. And I'm going to hold any further comments, although I know this briefing is primarily for Commissioners Saltzman and Fish, so I guess I should let you ask me any questions. And I get to the people who are supposed to know what to say and have the answers, your staff and Malou Wilkinson from Metro.
I just want to say for the record that in Jan's 20 years of public service, he's forgotten more about this issue than I know. Mm-hmm. So I just want that on the record. And since we have three members of council from Southwest Portland, mm-hmm. It's a new day. I had one question for you.
Of course.
That's related, but I didn't want to miss an opportunity with Joe here. You mentioned transit corridors, opportunities for development, the kind of development we want, mixed-use housing. One tool that we don't have in our kit is the ability to require a certain level of affordability in certain kinds of private development.
Amen, Commissioner.
But we do have other options of creating incentives for people to do it. So at some point, would you share, would you and Commissioner Chase, I'm thinking in particular, share some ideas about how we might create incentives for the kind of diversity of housing choices that I think we all support?
It would be a pleasure. And it's, of course, not a specific part of the work program of the Southwest Corridor study, but the idea that communities in the metropolitan region have more tools at our disposal than we're using, even under a restrictive state law which prohibits mandatory inclusionary zoning, is one that needs development, and Councillor Chase and I are eager for those conversations. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Bob? I mean, Councillor Stacey.
Thank
you much for being here. Okay. So,
I'd like to invite up Joe Zender from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Malou Wilkinson from Metro, and Denver Igarta from PBOT to present to the council, and in that order. And I know what Commissioner Fish is going to say. He's going to say, couldn't we just skip to Malou and then return to Zender? And I want him to know that we considered that carefully and decided it was not appropriate.
Oh, that was a double hitter.
Touché. That I think makes top 10.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I just want to give a brief introduction or setting a context to what you're going to hear about today. And actually, Commissioner Stacey covered a lot of it. Just a reminder, in April of this year, you all adopted by resolution the Barber Concept Plan. And the purpose of undertaking that plan, and we undertook it with a grant from Metro and the support of TriMet and the support of ODOT, was to get a point of view about land use first before we go planning high-capacity transit. So we're able to ask the question, when we're planning our high-capacity transit, how does it serve the interests of how we want to see this corridor develop? What makes a difference? So that plan accomplished that, conducted with a lot of input from the community and the stakeholders and property owners along the corridor. It identified the places along the Barber Corridor where people were most comfortable with additional growth and sort of what the nature of that might be. under different sort of scenarios with and without transit, and also some innovative approaches of how to turn places, intersections along Barber more into more neighborhood or community-serving centers than just an orphan state highway. We did that work. Paying attention to the environmental resources along the corridor and how to design with them, the chronic and sort of the persistent issue of the need to have safety on Barber because future development faces the same situation that folks do today in terms of the need for greater safety. And we looked at the economics so that we can understand with the potential of high-capacity transit what might that do in terms of affecting the scale and the timing of future development. So the plan, as I said, lays out that vision, and this next piece of work, the refinement plans you'll hear about today, is the first step in moving towards implementation of that.
Good afternoon. Malou Wilkinson from Metro, and I'm really excited to be here today and be able to give you an overview of the Southwest Corridor Plan and Shared Investment Strategy. I'd like to, can we go to the presentation? So I'd like to just start out by reminding you the geography of the Southwest Corridor. It starts in downtown, the south part of downtown Portland, and goes all the way to Sherwood at the edge of the urban growth boundary. It includes a little bit of Lake Oswego, the Cruise Way portion of Lake Oswego on the east, and it includes a little bit of the Nimbus, Washington Square area of Beaverton on the west. So it really encompasses a large portion of the region. And we began this process, as you've already heard, for two reasons. First, this Southwest Corridor was identified as a top priority for the region to consider for the next investment in high-capacity transit in the region's high-capacity transit system plan that was adopted in 2010. It was also identified as one of the top priority mobility corridors to look at all modes of transportation. The other one was the East Metro, East Multnomah County area that resulted in the East Metro Connections Plan, which you've heard of as well. So we started out with that policy framework looking at the Southwest Corridor. We also, if we can move on, we also know that this is an area that has many jobs and people living in it right now, and it's anticipated to have significant growth. It right now encompasses 11% of the metro region, and it has some major medical and educational facilities in the corridor, PSU, OHSU, PCC, Lewis and Clark, George Fox, and Tigard, some major employment areas in Tualatin and Sherwood and the Cruise Way area. And so there's a lot going on in the Southwest Corridor with a lot of current issues related to congestion and significant future growth anticipated. We already heard from a number of you about the collaborative partnership that was that we worked through to get to a shared investment strategy for the Southwest Corridor. There were 8 cities, 2 counties, 3 agencies all working together. The leadership that Portland showed, both at the elected level and with your staff, that really spent a huge amount of time and effort in this process was really key to getting us to where we are today. It was, as we said, it's your mayor said, it's been a long process. It's been 2 years right now, but we've looked at a broad range of elements that support great communities throughout the Southwest Corridor. So we started out based on some transportation policy guidance. That's why we started looking here. But really, as soon as we began, the cities in the Southwest Corridor began land use planning efforts that not just the Barber Concept Plan, which really set a great framework, but Tigard, Sherwood, and Tualatin all did land use planning at the same time. And that really guided the work that we did. So we did the land use vision. We identified a large number of projects that would support that land use vision, narrowed down, and then we evaluated 5 project bundles, and the steering committee chose from the projects that were in there to really define the shared investment strategy for the Southwest Corridor. We really asked for citizen input all along the way. We had a number of community planning forums. We worked to engage the private sector as well through economic summits. And we also tried to reach those people who are not so likely to come to a meeting through different online opportunities. And we were out talking with planning commissions, city councils, and neighborhood meetings as well as targeted outreach to environmental justice communities. But really, as we went through this process, we learned a lot from your engaged citizens in the Southwest neighborhoods. And we learned that we really need to engage in different ways in different communities. And so we did have a collaborated with Sweeney and with your staff to host an open house in April specific to the Southwest Corridor. And we've visited with neighbors in different places in the Southwest Corridor to better understand some of the site-specific issues. So you've heard about how we really took a land use vision-based approach to this effort. And instead of drawing lines on the map, we asked what the community vision was, and then we asked the cities to identify the key places for connections. And when you look at that map there, you can see the circles. And so rather than drawing lines that might be a potential transit line, we tried to connect those dots to each other in a way that would best support the land use vision. And we used this vision that you see on that map to really define the high-capacity transit alternatives and also to narrow down the roadway and active transportation projects. So it was a very different approach to how we've done this in the past. So what I'd like to do now is briefly describe for you what the steering committee recommendation is. There was a unanimous recommendation by the steering committee in July that really included four main elements. The orange ones on your screen, I'll go into more detail. So for transit, we narrowed high-capacity transit alternatives, but we also heard first and foremost from every place that we went in the corridor that local transit service needed to be improved. And the corridor has changed, it's grown, it's different than when TriMet first put the lines in place. And so there is a need to address that concern from our community members. And so TriMet is moving forward right now with the Southwest Service Enhancement Plan. And that was a key component of the steering committee recommendation. We also identified a strategic set of roadway and active transportation projects. And then a new piece of looking at a corridor was looking at the green element of a corridor. And so we have a prioritized list of over 400 parks and natural resource projects that combines information from all sorts of different agencies and nonprofits like the Tualatin River Keepers. And it really provides a great resource for interjurisdictional collaboration on projects and leveraging transportation investments to have this mapped set of green projects to continue to build that green identity that we would hear when we were out in the community. That was one of the things that brought people to the Southwest Corridor. Another element of the steering committee recommendation is a toolkit that includes development incentives and policy changes that can help support development on the ground that is consistent with the community vision. So that relates to some of the things that Joe was saying earlier. So a little bit more detail on the high-capacity transit alternatives in the steering committee recommendation. The steering committee in October narrowed from 10 high-capacity transit alternatives down to 5. We studied those 5, and then they narrowed again down to 2. Two modes, light rail and bus rapid transit, based on the high ridership potential of both of those modes. And for the bus rapid transit, they recommended that at least 50% of the alignment should be in a dedicated transit way for two reasons. First, that it is most supportive of the land use vision. You're more likely to have more reliable transit service if it's in a dedicated right-of-way. And also to allow a project to be eligible for New Starts funding if we would continue down that path. Can you move along to actually? And then the recommendation from the steering committee in terms of destination is that the line go from Portland to Tualatin via Tigard. It was very important that the high-capacity transit alignment serve downtown Tigard as well as serving Tualatin. And so this does leave Sherwood out, based on the input that we heard from Sherwood, both citizens and the city council, Sherwood felt at this point that their community land use vision is best served by more enhanced bus service, particularly connections to Tualatin and up to Beaverton, which they currently do not have. With the roadway and active transportation projects, we began with over 400 projects that came from local plans. Some of them were new projects that came from public input. We narrowed down to 81 based on that land use vision that you saw earlier. And we categorized those projects into two areas. The first category are those that are highly supportive of a high-capacity transit project, and those would be further studied in a refinement phase. and the others are highly supportive of the land use vision. Some of the projects that might be in there would be projects that could address safety sooner in the next 2 to 5 years. And some of them are big projects that would really help an area that wouldn't have been served by one of those lines on the map. But we identified those as projects that everyone agreed, all of the project partners agreed would be important, but they are, each of the project sponsors would be responsible for implementing those projects. So in terms of next steps, we are, as project partners, we already heard from Commissioner Novick that a number of the cities have already adopted resolutions that endorse the Southwest Corridor Plan, and the Metro Council will be considering a resolution at the end of this month, on Halloween, actually. And what this will do is, if we make it through to, if our council accepts that, adopts that resolution, it will move us into a refinement phase. So we'll officially end phase one of the Southwest Corridor Plan, and then we'll move into better refining what a high-capacity transit project would look like, identifying which roadway and active transportation projects would fit in with a high-capacity transit project, and continuing to keep the green element, those projects, the parks and habitat projects, on a track to move forward with the transportation component. And I know I also heard Commissioner Fish bring up housing earlier. We think it's really important to continue to figure out how we can integrate housing and economic development. So as we move forward with defining a project, we have a project that will be nationally competitive. So this integrated approach to corridor planning is both doing the right thing for building great communities, and it will also help us as we move forward with this work in the region. So that's a summary of the shared investment strategy that is part of what your resolution calls for. I think Denver is going to go through what's actually in your resolution.
Great. Yeah, good afternoon. I'm Denver Agarda, transportation planner. I staff this project for the Portland Bureau of Transportation along with my colleague Art Pierce. And I'm going to go over...
Well, I promised to get rid of that microphone by this week, so try it for a while.
We'll see how it goes. I'm going to go over reviewing the items that are in the resolution in front of you today. As Malou mentioned, other jurisdictions that are partnering on this project are endorsing their own resolutions. Metro prepared a model resolution for cities to follow as they take action with their city councils. The City of Portland resolution includes some of those items that are being considered by all the jurisdictional partners, as well as additional items that are unique to Portland. So the items that are in common with all the other partner jurisdictions include endorsing the Southwest Corridor Plan and Shared Investment Strategy as non-binding city policy, as it was approved by the Steering Committee in July. Coordinating to participate in the future ongoing Southwest Corridor effort following this phase. Working with project partners to pursue funding options to support the Southwest Corridor recommendations. Using the plan to inform local plans, policies, and implementation strategies, such as the transportation system plan that we're in the process of updating. Participating in the Southwest service enhancement planning work that TriMet's doing, as Malou described, to improve local bus service throughout the entire corridor. So following the approval of the plan by the steering committee, city staff held two meetings with community members to address issues specific to Southwest Portland. The starting point for this was a letter that Sweeney submitted to the mayor back in May to discuss the recommendations of the plan. Based on those community discussions, the following items were included in the City of Portland Council resolution. One of the main issues that was needing to be addressed was the community's desire for near-term safety improvements for pedestrians and bicyclists, and recognizing that critical safety improvements need to be made before the bigger, long-term, high-capacity transit investment is made. One of the specific projects that were mentioned at community, there are a lot of projects mentioned. One of them was the need for safety improvements on the two viaducts on Barber, but that was one of among a number of projects that are recommended in the Southwest Corridor Plan. The next item is the need to coordinate across bureaus on broad city policy and related city projects, including parks and trails and stormwater improvements. A number of the items in the resolution relate to the next phase that we're undertaking, the refinement phase of the plan, which specifically is going to be addressing the high-capacity transit options and supportive projects. The first includes working with Metro on defining the public involvement plan, and one key item that we are requesting is formation of a community working group. This was an idea that was included in the initial letter from Sweeney. And the idea of this group would be that neighbors would have the opportunity to preview the high-capacity transit refinement work, and that also there would be the opportunity to begin refining and prioritizing those projects that were recommended in the plan. There's also the need to continue to use adopted local plans, such as the Barber Concept Plan, to inform future phases, and also to evaluate land use impacts and transportation needs in areas that weren't covered by the Barber Concept Plan, you know, directly on Barber. And then finally, evaluating projects based on the performance for community priorities of safety and active transportation, reducing vehicle miles traveled and greenhouse gas emissions, and minimizing the impacts to neighborhood streets. So that covers all the items that are within the resolution before you. We have invited two other guests to come and speak about the Southwest Corridor Plan. Alan Lado.
Can I ask you a question first? Yeah. The bullet point about evaluating land use impacts and transportation needs for alignments off Barber?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So we have alignments that are alternatives that are being considered. The two main ones that we'll be looking at with the refinement are whether we're connecting directly to Portland Community College and also directly to OHSU. This specific item is specifically about Markham Hill and Hillsdale, if the tunnel option is one of the options that is still being considered. We haven't done the same level of land use work and transportation system engagement with the community for that those two areas. So it would be to kind of bring it up to par with what we have in the Barber Concept Plan.
Okay, thanks.
Here, I have just three questions and comments. First, next week, the council is taking up a resolution to adopt some principles around age-friendly cities, operating off of what the World Health Organization and other groups are doing. And Metro has forecast a very significant increase over the next 20 years in older adults. Older adults, I'm referring to people over the age of 30.
So everybody in this room. Yeah.
So Mike, one question is, how much of our planning is informed by this question of how do we accommodate a large number of older adults? How do we make all of our systems accessible, and how do we capture the extra value of having this remarkable population?
I think that's kind of a key objective for not just this project, but all of our transportation projects, is providing for safety and convenience and comfort for people of all ages and abilities. And that's been central to how we've looked at the supportive active transportation and multimodal projects, as well as the transit options that are being considered.
That's something that I guess we'll be monitoring ongoing. Second question is, we've been unsuccessful to get a sustainable communities grant from HUD, which would allow us at a metro-wide level look at the question of transportation, affordable housing, and proximity to jobs, et cetera. This is a remarkably ambitious undertaking in one corridor of our city. Do we continue to be handicapped by the absence of a big look that looks metro-wide at those questions? I'm talking about specifically equity.
I will try to address your question. So I think we're continuing at Metro. We are looking at we have made a number of efforts to address equity more effectively. So we've been partnering with the Coalition for a Livable Future on an equity atlas, and we're working right now to have a number of workshops with partners across the region to be able to use that atlas in all of our work across the region. So that's one way that we're trying to address equity. We are trying to learn about what it's best to look at regional, at a complete region-wide perspective, and what might be more effectively addressed in a corridor. And we've been learning a lot with the Southwest Corridor. We've been able to do a lot more when we have a lot of partners. There are 13 at the table, but it's still 8 cities rather than 24 cities and 2 counties. And so there might be a lot that we can learn as we continue to move forward with this project to try and continue to bring equity into our work and to be able to try and be successful potentially at the corridor-wide level at looking for other opportunities for grant funding for our work as we continue to try and make those connections.
I would also note that the federal government is starting to withhold federal funds from communities that don't address some of these issues, and we are talking about a transportation system that connects communities, some of which are probably lagging in their investment in affordable housing for a range of incomes. I guess the final comment I want to make is, in the last presentation, you talked about investments in green infrastructure as part of this. And obviously, that's part of our brand. I would be remiss, though, if I didn't acknowledge that the city is currently a defendant in a lawsuit that I have inherited based on my new assignments that challenges the principle of whether we should be investing in green infrastructure. That lawsuit has not been resolved yet, but it is the core claim in the lawsuit brought by a number of parties challenges the use of ratepayer dollars to invest in green infrastructure. Greater Green is the single largest category in the lawsuit that's pending against the city brought by some large water users. And I would also say that one thing that makes our planning a little more complicated on a bunch of subjects, including Commissioner Fritz and I looking at the future of Mount Tabor, is that without clarity about next May and the prospect of our utilities being transferred to a new board, governing board that makes decisions, it makes it a little harder for us to do planning about where we're going to invest. So it's a double-pronged bind. One is we're being sued for investing in green infrastructure, and B, there's an open question as to whether the city will continue to administer its $20 billion investment in infrastructure, water, and sewer. So I don't want to rain on your parade, but there's a cautionary flag here, and both fights at some point need to be resolved to give us greater clarity about where we can put our investments.
Thank you. Other comments or questions for this part of the team? And then I know you wanted to call up.
Yeah, we have 2 guests who we'd like to invite to speak. Alan Lato, representing TriMet, and Marianne Fitzgerald from the Southwest Neighborhoods.
Okay. Before they come up, though, Dan has one more question. Sorry.
So, Malou, so Sherwood is out, meaning Sherwood is out of the planning of the Southwest Corridor plan? Is that what you meant?
If I can clarify that, Sherwood is not on the alignment for a high-capacity transit investment, but Sherwood continues to be at the table because we're also looking at the local service enhancement, mm-hmm. and as well as the investments in roadways and active transportation projects. So Sherwood is still at the table, but they're not on that line.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, and then you wanted to call Alan and come on up, please.
And Marianne Fitzgerald.
Marianne here? Yes, there she is. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, thank you for your time and thank you for your attention to this important project. I'm here to express TriMet's enthusiasm for working on this in partnership with the city, the other cities in the corridor, Metro, the 2 counties, ODOT, and to thankfully now reiterate some of what was said. I don't need to bring a whole lot more to the table because you've already heard a lot of the key points. One is, of course, that the land use vision leads. Why do we provide transportation infrastructure? Well, a big part of why we provide transit service and provide transit projects is to develop to provide the support for the development the way the communities and the jurisdictions want things to develop in the future. It's about a future vision and the ability for transportation infrastructure and the rest of the infrastructure you heard about in the strategy to support that future vision. We're very excited about being able to work on this corridor, look at the opportunities for bus rapid transit as well as light rail transit, and as well to look at the opportunities for, as you've heard, what we call our service enhancement plan. And that is to look at all of the communities in the corridor and see how we can better knit them together with transit. We, of course, have a system that's been out running for decades. It needs fine-tuning, and it needs a bit of an overhaul. We also know that the region, the cities, need a substantial increase in transit mode share in the future, and we're looking at something on the order of doubling transit service in the future to be able to meet some of those mode share expectations and to support the future development. So what we're trying to develop along with the communities and the representatives and the business owners and everybody else in the corridor is a vision for the entire network, not just for a single line, and how all of those communities can be knit together. I guess I should also mention the importance of, as you were mentioning just a moment ago, the equity, sort of the equity lens we use to look at how we provide service, how we provide projects. That is always an important part of the planning and always a requirement that we put upon ourselves as well as the federal government puts upon us, both for projects as well as the overall transit network.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mayor Hales, Commissioners Novick, Fritz, Saltzman, and Fish. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I'm the president of Southwest Neighborhoods, the coalition of 17 neighborhood associations and three business associations in Southwest Portland. Sweeney enthusiastically supports the City Council resolution endorsing the Southwest Corridor Plan. We want to thank the city staff for working with us in the planning process and meeting with us to discuss the resolution, in particular Denver, Art Pierce, Joan Fredrickson, Jay Sugnet, and also Metro staff, Melu, and others. Many of our neighborhoods are within the corridor. 10 of our neighborhoods are on Barber. 14 of our neighborhoods are within the corridor and would be impacted by the proposed resolution and the plan. You asked about affordable housing. We have two of the three Home Forward affordable housing properties right on Barber, and all three of them are within the corridor. And we have a number of multifamily units, a lot of them affordable housing, particularly in the West Portland area. And we have a lot of seniors who complain that they can't get to the senior center by bus. So we are very sensitive to affordable housing and serving seniors in our neighborhoods. So back in May, as you know, we worked with our neighborhood associations to identify priorities, and I've attached them to this letter. So our major comments, number one is safety. It is a high crash corridor, and just in the last 3 months, two pedestrians have been critically injured, and this happens over and over and over again. We want to thank you for funding the Barber Demonstration Project last month. We're very excited. We want to move forward on that. That was identified as a high priority in 1999, and finally we get it funded. So we're looking forward to working with you on the sidewalks, bike paths, and safer crossings that will be in that plan. But we want to reinforce that we need many, many projects that improve safety along the entire length of this high crash corridor. Regarding the road diet that's been in the news lately, Sweeney recommends further study. We don't have a position on whether to do it or not, but we definitely agree we need to study it and have an open, transparent process that engages a wide range of stakeholders in figuring out if it's the right thing to do. Regarding the community working group, that's our highest priority. We really do need to get into the details of these projects, and we recognize that in the Metro resolution that there is a thing called the Southwest Implementation and Development Committee, but we don't want that to be the public involvement process. We want to have a community working group that's specific to Portland issues. So regarding the shared investment strategy, the devil truly is in the details. Some of the project descriptions and cost estimates are 15 years old, And some of them are identified as only needing bike paths when really we need sidewalks and bike paths. So we really need to look at all these projects and see how they can enhance the livability in Southwest Portland. We especially encourage PBOT and the Bureau of Environmental Services to work together so we can work on cost-effective solutions for stormwater as well as the transportation infrastructure. And we don't want to shy away from big projects. There's a couple of really, really big projects in the shared investment strategy that could be transformational in our neighborhoods, and we don't want to walk away from them because they're big and complex. So finally, for transit improvements, it's really critical that we serve Oregon Health and Science University and PCC Sylvania. They're the biggest trip generators in our neighborhoods, and have those trips have a huge impact on the people living in the neighborhoods near them. We want to see improved transit service to help people all over get to the employment areas and services in the region. And we also want improved service within Southwest. And I looked at the 2035 map that's in the strategy, and it's not enough for Southwest Portland. In fact, a lot of them is in the rest of the Southwest Corridor and kind of skips over Southwest Portland. So we need better service, too. So finally, we believe that in the long run, the Southwest Corridor Plan has the potential to make our community a safer and more pleasant place to live, work, play, and learn. We urge you to work with us in a hands-on way to work through the details in the next phase and build community support for the many public investments needed to improve livability in Southwest Portland. Thank you.
Thanks, Marianne.
Thank
you very
much. Questions
for these two? Thank you so much. And then is that it in terms of invited testimony?
I think it is.
Okay. I know we have a number of people signed up. I guess I know we have a lot of volunteers here who put a great deal of time into this plan, but we also have some volunteers who put a great deal of time into being on the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and I see at least one of them here. I'm not sure if we want a, an official comment or not, but Mr. Smith? All right, thank you. Always get the prerogative since we know how many hours you put in. So let's go to the sign-up sheet then.
We have 14 speakers.
Okay.
Anton Vetterlein, Bob Clark, Kyle Johnson, please come up. They'll be followed by Jarek Kransky, Terry Parker, and Ron Swearin.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Anton Vetterlein. I'm the land use representative for the Homestead Neighborhood Association. Nice to be here. Our neighborhood has some serious reservations about the Southwest Corridor Plan as it stands at this point. The plan doesn't adequately address the transportation needs of inner Southwest Portland, while at the same time it threatens the livability of our neighborhood. Our fear is that high-capacity transit on Barber Boulevard will reduce vehicular capacity on a critical stretch of Barber that serves as a funnel for Southwest arterials into the central city and will push traffic onto neighborhood streets that are not intended for through traffic. My specific concern is this. The Southwest Corridor Plan has identified OHSU on Markham Hill as, quote, an essential place, but the project is focused on a Barber Boulevard alignment for either bus rapid transit or light rail that will serve neither OHSU on Markham Hill or down on the South Waterfront. I probably don't need to remind you that OHSU is the biggest employer in the city of Portland, with 10,000 people who work on Markham Hill, not including several thousand more at the VA Hospital and the Shriners Hospital. The hospitals on Markham Hill are certainly the biggest employment center in the entire Southwest Corridor Plan study area, and the Southwest Corridor Plan is certainly the biggest transit project that Southwest Portland has ever seen, and which will set the pattern of land use and transportation for the next 50 or more years. So it seems odd that this plan largely ignores Markham Hill. High-capacity transit needs to directly serve OHSU, but this plan's only consideration of how to do that is via light rail and a tunnel under Markham Hill, and which is only considered as an alternative to the baseline of transit on Barber Boulevard. I know the resolution before you today includes a paragraph endorsing further study of the light rail tunnel option, but the planners I've talked to about it strongly imply that it's a long-shot alternative, and they do their best to downplay it. The problem is, if the tunnel is deemed too expensive or complicated or disruptive, then there's nothing else in the plan that will directly link Markham Hill to high-capacity transit. Out of all the multitudinous roadway and active transportation projects that were listed by Metro that are intended to support connections to high-capacity transit, not a single one would have connected to Markham Hill. The list seems to be a rehash of projects that were already on the books well before the plan was considered. There doesn't appear to be original planning going on here to create an integrated transit system in Southwest Portland. Homestead Neighborhood has collaborated with OHSU and other community groups in inner Southwest Portland to add a project to the active transportation list that would improve pedestrian connections between OHSU and Barber. We very much appreciate the initiative that OHSU has taken to advocate for pedestrian connections to Markham Hill, but we're also disappointed that OHSU has taken a neutral stance on the larger issue of high-capacity transit options. I can promise you that if OHSU proposes to build any additional parking facilities on Markham Hill, there will be vigorous opposition from surrounding communities, and it seems it would be in their best interest to support improved access. So I urge you not to rubber stamp this plan, but to add additional language to your resolution that calls for the Southwest Corridor plan to more explicitly serve one of Portland's most important employment destinations. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
At the bottom of page 2 of the resolution, it says, be it further resolved, the council directs staff to evaluate the land use impacts and transportation system needs associated with the tunnel option for high-capacity transit on the areas of Markham Hill and Hillsdale Town Center. Do you need something more than that? I'm not clear what the amendment
well,
is.
Well, I guess the concern is that the complication of building a tunnel and a lot of the anxiety over that could, if that doesn't happen, then we're left with nothing. And it's going down Barber, but it's not connecting to OHSU, either the South Waterfront or on the Hill.
Do you think that Homestead being and Hillsdale being involved in the community work group would give you enough of a voice to make sure that that particular element of the resolution stays front and center?
Potentially.
Or is there some language amendment that you're suggesting?
Yeah, I'm not a wordsmith in that respect, so I'm not sure. I mean, if there's a way just to tweak that to not refer necessarily, or to refer beyond just the light rail tunnel to high-capacity transit serving Markham Hill. I don't know offhand.
Thank you.
So, yeah, let me follow up on her question and that point, and that is, did you propose a specific potential project element other than a tunnel that we ought to be looking at?
No, because I've heard lots of possibilities, and I think that's just something that needs to be studied, and it seems to me that ought to be part of this study. And yet, to me, it doesn't appear that that's happened.
So to restate your point, you're concerned that it's either tunnel or no tunnel, and then we're done.
Right, we're stuck with nothing
with
at that point.
Get to and from Markham Hill.
Exactly.
Connect this corridor to Markham Hill.
Yeah.
Okay, good point. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Clark, Southeast Portland, and I just wanted to state my opposition to putting Barber Boulevard on a road diet. A lot of us in the Southeast Portland a lot of times look at Barber as a stress relief from the congestion on I-5 as we drive north towards home from visiting family or whatever down south. And I do believe this relates to the Southwest Corridor plan in that you have monies within the plan that might be reprioritized towards adding supplemental bike lanes and pedestrian lanes to Barber at the constraining points. And like the Oregonian editorial board has pointed out, you probably could engineer some supplemental capacity instead of taking existing capacity from bus riders and cars and that. Also, even the Columbia River Crossing project relates to the Barber Boulevard safety issues. I don't see the CRC would do much for relieving traffic congestion on I-5 between Capitol High and Markham Bridge. Most every major city has multiple bypasses of its downtown core, yet Portland, after decades of population growth, has only one bypass, that being 205. Portland needs a west side bypass in order to relieve all of the freeway congestion going on through the heart of Portland. a west side bypass would take away the concern of Barber being a necessary I-5 relief valve. And also, when I sit in traffic on Highway 26 and I look over routinely and see the MAX cruising by it with only half full or less in the cars, it should be it's clear to me that the light rail is not helping the car driver any, and so that I want to voice my concern there. And the best public input process, I believe, when you're dealing with massive projects like a new light rail line with a tunnel and all that, would be to allow people or citizens of Portland to vote on it. I know the citizens of Tigard have gotten that ability.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Oh, there's a little button there. There you go.
Hello, my name is Kyle Johnson. I'm a Southwest Portland resident, a business owner, a Lewis and Clark graduate. And 2 years ago, I helped start a grassroots group called Friends of Barber. Our mission is to make Barber safe for all users. We drive cars, ride bicycles, walk, and take public transit on Barber. But Barber is no longer a street where people can safely move from Southwest to the rest of the city. Over the past years, it has become a street of memorials to those who have been maimed or died due to its outdated design. I am here to present you today with a letter signed by 503 community members, businesses, and community groups asking for city agencies to work together to study a road modernization, also called road diet, option for Barber. We collected these signatures through talking with people at bus stops, holding community forums at apartments next to Barber, and making a video about some of the unsafe conflicts along Barber. Everyone we talked with was very passionate that the status quo is not working. A road modernization project could be the quickest, easiest, and most cost-effective way to make Barber safe for everyone. The last two pages of the letter include some results from the successful road modernization project on Southeast Holgate, which saw dramatic decreases in car crashes and car speeding. I was excited to read Commissioner Novick's letter about how the Portland Bureau of Transportation will be working with the Oregon Department of Transportation to study this option. It's important that the study mimic real-world conditions, be transparent, and have ways for community feedback. Paint is much cheaper than hospital beds and funerals. If we fail to make Barber safe today, we are failing our future community members whose memorials will continue to build up on this deadly street. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions? Thank you all.
Next, Roger Averbeck, Seth Alford, Phil Richman. Oh, I'm sorry. Strike that. Hold on. Jarek Kransky, Terry Parker, Ron Swearin are next, followed by Roger, Seth, and Phil.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Hales, members of the commission, my name is Garrick Kransky. I'm the advocacy director with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and I'm here today to say thank you, specifically for three things. Thank you first for your work on the Southwest Corridor Plan. We look forward as an organization to engaging with a broader community around the development of a high-capacity transit corridor throughout the Southwest. Second, I want to thank you for working with BTA members, volunteers, and staff over the last few weeks as hundreds and hundreds of us have spoken out in support of a study of safety on Southwest Barber as a component of this work. And third, I want to thank you, Commissioner Novick, specifically for committing the Portland Bureau of Transportation as a resource to conducting that safety study and doing so in an open and transparent way. We really look forward to PBOT having the time and resources it needs to find the right solution to safety on Southwest Barber, and our hope is that the study can provide the good technical information that we need to guide the political conversation that will come as we consider those safety improvements. Ultimately, at the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, our goal is to create a safe place for everyone who would like to travel through the Southwest Barber Corridor, whether you choose to walk or ride a bike or take your car, and then, of course, in the long term, improve transit And we won't rest until we see that safe space created. But today, we're here to say thank you. We really appreciate taking the step forward of conducting that open and transparent study.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Terry.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name's Terry Parker. I'm from Northeast Portland, and I did commute at one time out to that area for about 10 years. Barber Boulevard is an overflow, backup, and alternative route for I-5. It is also likely a disaster escape route for various parts of the city. Any plan must include 4 full-service through lanes for motor vehicles. A prime example of not doing so is on Interstate Avenue, after which Max displaced 2 of the motor vehicle lanes. Much of the street has become a congested parking lot during peak periods. Today, technology advanced cars coming off the assembly line use less energy per passenger mile as measured in BTUs and produce less emissions per passenger mile as measured in CO2 than riding transit, including in Portland. 8 to 10% of the jobs in the U.S. are tied to the auto industry. The anti-car mindset, such as limiting parking for apartments and businesses, does not belong as a part of the plans for this corridor and is undoubtedly a major reason as to why household incomes in Portland and Oregon lag well behind the national average. While driving is subsidized at pennies per mile, transit is subsidized at over 60 cents per passenger mile. The Federal Highway Trust Fund is primarily supported by the federal tax on motor fuels. Currently, though, 20 to 25% of the dollars are coming from the U.S. General Fund, which is about the same amount of dollars being siphoned off to pay for alternative transport projects. This clearly demonstrates the payment for roadways is self-sustainable, while paying for alternative transport is costly, contributes to the national debt, and thereby adds to the push to increase the federal debt limit. Locally, transit must become more financially self-sustainable, paid for mostly by the ridership. There is an old saying, put your money where your mouth is. Sharing the road must require sharing the financial responsibility. Paying for bicycle infrastructure in this corridor and elsewhere must also become more self-sustainable. The bicycle freeloading community has too much influence over city policy. Furthermore, it is unethical for the city to fund a special interest organization directly or indirectly that in turn commingles dollars and then uses that money to lobby for more of what they want at taxpayer or motorist expense. Adult bicyclists need to accept the responsibility of paying for the construction of and maintenance of bicycle lanes, the space they occupy on the roads, and any other specialized infrastructure. Without accepting that responsibility, a bicycle infrastructure diet is absolutely in order. In closing, 4 full-service motor vehicle lanes must remain on Barber Boulevard as part of the Southwest Corridor Plan. Instead of poaching from taxes and fees paid by motorists and or other taxpayers, a shared investment must include the cost of alternate infrastructure and transport options equitably being assessed to the people who use them. Finally, stakeholder motorists and both commuters and seniors who drive must have a seat at the community workshop table. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Ron Swarren. For the record, I live at 1543 Southeast Umatilla, right on the Springwater Trail Corridor. I participate in the UN World Urban Forum also, and I've invited people with active transportation issues to participate, and so far, I don't think any of them have. What I've observed in the Springwater Trail corridor is usage in the summer drops about this much in the winter. So what we need is year-round, day-in, day-out transportation solutions. Monday, I spoke to several members of the Washington State Senate, and I congratulated them that they had funded a double-decker bus system from Seattle to Everett, Washington. This is part of community transit. And I pointed out to them that for about 1/60th of the cost of the Milwaukee light rail, they funded transportation to a community that is about 4 times larger than the Milwaukee. Everett has 100,000 people. And for an initial $23 million grant, they bought 2,610 passenger capacity buses. And these operate in express service between Linwood and Edmonds and Seattle. And apparently they're very popular. They're going to invest in some more, and community transit has also tightened up their finances by cutting out unproductive routes. And I also believe that they accomplish their decisions with a lot less to do than Portland does. Some of the citizen involvement in Portland is very lengthy. So I believe the Southwest Corridor could be served by buses, and also if Sherwood wanted to opt in, it would be just very simple of making some decisions to include Sherwood in a bus rapid transit system. trying to extend light rail would be very complex and time-consuming. Just as we are seeing that if we tried to extend light rail to Oregon City, as it ought to be, if it's going to be a workable solution, would be very complicated and very expensive. So I think buses would be much better. Toronto, Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, Victoria are using double-decker buses, and apparently they're succeeding. London has also started some new double-decker service. As far as road diet, I think Barber could be restriped with four lanes still. I noticed the lanes seem to be pretty generous, and I think then there would be enough accommodation for cyclists. Maybe a few tight spots could have some